This article is brought to you by the best-selling booksie Write Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. Negotiation scenarios where anchoring backfires. When your opening number destroys trust instead of setting the stage. In short, anchoring backfires when it signals ignorance, bad faith, or disrespect rather than confidence. Used in the wrong scenario, your opening number does not shape the conversation. It ends it. An anchor only works if the other party takes it seriously enough to respond. Relationship context, information gaps, and counterparty experience all change whether an anchor helps or harms. Knowing when not to anchor is just as important as knowing how to set one. Definition: anchoring backfires in negotiation when an opening offer or reference point produces a worse outcome than no anchor at all. Typically by damaging credibility, hardening the other party's position, or destroying the trust needed to reach any agreement. I watched a colleague destroy a six-figure deal in under 4 minutes. He had prepared his anchor carefully, a number at the high end of reasonable, designed to pull the final price toward his target. What he had not prepared for was sitting across from someone who had run procurement for 20 years and knew the market better than he did. The moment the number left his mouth, the other side went quiet. Not the thoughtful quiet of someone calculating a counter. The cold quiet of someone deciding whether to bother. By the time he understood what had happened, the anchoring had already done its damage, and no amount of recovery would bring the conversation back. The problem is not that anchoring is a bad tool. It is genuinely powerful in the right hands, in the right situation. The problem is that most people who use it have been taught what an anchor is, but not where it breaks. These are mistakes that look like confidence right up until the moment they do not. Why these errors feel like the right move in the moment. Anchoring errors are particularly hard to catch because the tool itself is legitimate. Setting a strong opening reference point does shift the range of discussion. First mover advantage is real. The research behind it is solid enough that it has become standard advice in almost every negotiation course taught anywhere. That consensus creates a specific kind of blind spot. When a technique has a good reputation, you stop questioning whether the conditions are right for it. You focus on how to use the anchor, not whether to. By the time the other party reacts badly, the damage is already done, and it is easy to blame the response rather than your read of the situation. The scenarios where anchoring turns against you. 1. You anchor without knowing enough about the market. What it looks like: your opening number lands and the other party either laughs, winces, or goes completely still. There is no counter. They simply look at you. Why it happens: you anchored from your own target backward, rather than from a genuine read of market reality. The number felt ambitious to you. To them, it revealed that you had not done your homework. Why it matters: an anchor only shapes the conversation if the other party takes it seriously. A number that signals ignorance does not pull them toward your position. It makes them question whether you're worth negotiating with at all. What to do: before you set any anchor, test it against real market data. If you cannot defend your opening number with at least two external reference points, you're not ready to anchor. Do the research first, or ask questions before you offer anything. I have made this mistake. I went in confident and came out humbled. A well-informed counterparty will not negotiate against a number they know is fiction. 2. You anchor against someone more experienced than you expected. What it looks like: your anchor lands, the other party pauses briefly, and then they come back with a counter so extreme it makes your number irrelevant. They have effectively re-anchored the entire conversation from scratch. Why it happens: experienced negotiators are not thrown by anchors. They know the tactic, they discount your number immediately, and they are ready with a counter-anchor that pulls the midpoint far from where you wanted it. Why it matters: when two anchors compete, the stronger one wins. If theirs is more credible, better justified, or more calmly delivered, your opening position becomes noise. You have given up first mover advantage and handed the reference point to someone better positioned to use it. What to do: if you sense you're dealing with a seasoned counterparty, consider asking a well-prepared question before you anchor at all. Information gathering before the opening offer is not weakness. It is tactical patience. Here is the truth of it: anchoring against an expert without full preparation is not confidence. It is a shortcut that costs you the whole conversation. 3. You use an extreme anchor in a relationship-dependent context. What it looks like: the other party does not walk away. They accept the deal. But something shifts afterward. Emails take longer to return. the next conversation starts crueler than the last one. Why it happens? In transactional negotiations, an aggressive anchor is just a tactic. In an ongoing working relationship, it is a signal. It tells the other person how you see the balance of power between you, and they remember it. Why it matters. A short-term gain from a strong anchor can produce long-term costs that far exceed the value of the deal itself. Lost goodwill, reduced cooperation, and a counterparty who prepares much more aggressively next time are all consequences of anchoring that ignores the relationship. What to do? In any negotiation where you will sit across from this person again, weight the relationship cost before you set your opening number. A fair anchor that preserves trust is often worth more than an extreme one that extracts a little more today. If you want to understand how tension hardens over time, how to de-escalate arguments during meetings gives you a clear picture of what you're managing when a relationship has already been strained. 4. You anchor before you understand what the other party actually wants. What it looks like. You set your number, they seem disengaged rather than resistant, and the conversation never finds its footing. You keep adjusting your position, but nothing seems to move them. Why it happens? You anchored on price before you understood their real priority. They may care more about timing, terms, exclusivity, or something else entirely. Your anchor was precise about the wrong thing. Why it matters. An anchor that targets the wrong variable does not pull the negotiation toward a deal. It pulls it toward an impasse, because you and the other party are not even arguing about the same thing. What to do? Spend the first part of any negotiation listening, not anchoring. Use questions that reveal what the other party is actually optimizing for. When you know their priority, your anchor becomes far more precise and far more effective. Staying grounded while you gather the information is a skill in itself. The core framework is worth knowing before you walk into any high-stakes conversation. 5. You anchor after the other party has already established a credible reference point. What it looks like. They name a number early, with reasons attached. You then name your number. The conversation gravitates toward theirs, not yours. Why it happens. The first credible anchor tends to dominate. If their number came with justification, market context, or a confident delivery, it is already doing the work of shaping expectations. Where counter-anchor arrives late, and has to work much harder to shift the frame. Why it matters. This is the non-obvious one. Many negotiators believe that naming their number still matters even if the other party anchored first. Sometimes it does. But if their anchor has taken hold, the late anchor does not reset the conversation. It just signals disagreement without moving the midpoint. What to do? When you have missed the first anchor, do not try to overwrite it with your own number immediately. Challenge the basis of their anchor first. Ask them to justify the reference point. Weaken the credibility of their number before you introduce yours. 6. You anchor with the round number. What it looks like. You say 50,000. They hear I guessed. A precise number carries implicit research. A round number carries implicit uncertainty. Why it happens. Round numbers feel confident and clean. But to an experienced counterparty, they signal that you have not worked out exactly what something is worth. You have landed on a comfortable approximation. Why it matters. Precision in an anchor suggests you know exactly what you are asking for and why. Round numbers invite challenge because they look like placeholders rather than conclusions. You lose psychological ground before the negotiation proper has begun. What to do? If you are going to anchor, make the number specific. Not 50,000. 4 to 7,500. The specificity signals preparation, and preparation signals credibility. 7. You anchor in a multi-party negotiation as though it were one-on-one. What it looks like. You set a strong opening position. One party appears to engage, but others in the room go quiet or exchange looks. The dynamic fragments. You find yourself arguing with one person while others drift toward a different position entirely. Why it happens. A single anchor aimed at one decision-maker fails when there are multiple stakeholders with different priorities. Your number lands differently depending on who is in the room, and you cannot anchor everyone with the same move. Why it matters. In multi-party situations, an anchor that alienates even one key voice can be enough to kill agreement. The dissenting voice does not need to counter you directly. They simply need to influence others after the meeting ends. What to do? In group negotiations, understand who holds the real decision-making weight before you anchor at all. Address objections you anticipate from different stakeholders in the framing of your opening, not just in the number itself. When two colleagues are already pulling in different directions before a negotiation begins, The deal method gives you a structure for restoring alignment before the deal making starts. The root problem behind all of these scenarios. Every failure above shares a single source, treating anchoring as a universal opening move rather than a context-specific decision. A good anchor requires three things to work. You need credible information to justify the number. You need a counterparty who is engaged enough to respond to it. And you need a situation where setting the reference point serves the outcome you actually want. Remove any one of those three, and the anchor stops being a tool. It becomes a liability. Most anchoring mistakes happen not because the person did not know what an anchor was, but because they never asked whether the conditions were right. Anchoring works when you have prepared for the specific situation in front of you, not when you apply it, because it is the conventional first move. When a conversation has already gone wrong, and you need to understand what broke, how to use the recover method gives you a clear path back. A quick diagnostic. Should you anchor in this situation? Before you set your opening number, work through these statements honestly. Answer yes or no to each. Number 1. I can name at least two external reference points that support my opening number. Number 2. I have a reasonable read on the other party's experience level and preparation. Number 3. This is a transactional negotiation, or I have explicitly accounted for the relationship cost of an aggressive anchor. Number 4. I know what the other party is primarily optimizing for, not just what I want. Number 5. I am entering this conversation before the other party has established a credible reference point. Number 6. My opening number is specific, not a round approximation. Number 7. I understand who all the decision-making stakeholders are and how my anchor will land with each of them. If you answered yes to 6 or 7, anchoring is likely to work in your favor. You are prepared and the conditions support it. If you answered yes to 4 or 5, consider whether you need more information before you anchor, or whether a different opening move serves you better here. If you answered yes to 3 or fewer, do not anchor yet. You are missing too many of the conditions that make it effective. Ask questions first. A neutral, well-framed opening question often does more work than a premature anchor. How the neutral problem statement stops tension escalation shows you how to open without overcommitting. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at imanblickthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Where to go from here? If this diagnostic has identified a pattern in how you anchor, the first move is not to stop anchoring altogether. It is to slow down the moment before you set the number and ask what conditions are actually in place. The bridge method is worth reading if you suspect that past anchoring choices have already damaged a working relationship you need to repair. And if you are preparing to negotiate with someone who has consistently dismissed the stakes involved, how to use the value method gives you a framework for making the case before you get to the deal itself. Anchoring backfires negotiation situations share a common cue preparation that matches the specific context, not a default playbook applied regardless of what is in front of you. The negotiators who use anchors well are the ones who have learned, usually the hard way, when to put the tool down. Frequently asked questions. When does anchoring backfire in negotiation? Anchoring backfires when you set an extreme opening number without enough information, when the other party is more experienced than you expected, or when the relationship matters more than the deal itself. Overconfident anchors also destroy credibility if you cannot defend them. What are the signs that anchoring backfires in your negotiation? Signs include the other party walking away without countering, visible offence or disengagement, a hardened refusal to move, or a counter-anchor so extreme it resets the entire conversation. These reactions tell you that anchor damaged the dynamic rather than shaping it. How do you recover when anchoring backfires during a deal? Acknowledge the disconnect without abandoning your position entirely. Ask a question that invites the other party back into the conversation. Shift focus from your number to shared interests. A credible reframe recovers more ground than doubling down on an anchor that has already failed. Does anchoring always work in negotiation? No. Anchoring works best when you have strong information, a credible justification, and a counterparty who's engaged. In low information situations, unfamiliar contexts, or high trust relationships, anchoring can set the wrong reference point and cost you far more than it gains. Why does an extreme anchor sometimes shut down negotiation entirely? An extreme anchor signals bad faith or ignorance to the other party. If they believe you are either uninformed or deliberately insulting, they disengage rather than counter. The anchor stops framing the conversation and instead becomes the reason the conversation ends. Can anchoring damage a long-term business relationship? Yes, in ongoing relationships, an aggressive anchor is remembered long after the deal closes. It signals that you prioritize extraction over fairness, which erodes the trust needed for future negotiations. A short-term gain from a strong anchor can produce long-term relationship costs that far outweigh it. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.